Hare Krishna. This is day 4 of Bhakti Shastri class, Bhagavad Gita, Unit 1 by His Grace Atul Krishna Prabhu on 19th of December 2013. Hare Krishna.
What are some of the significant things you remember from yesterday's lesson?
This gentleman right here.
Yeah.
I remember him very
Other things that are significant? Yes, Shankar.
Bhakti includes all the other practices.
Good. Bhakti includes all the other achievements of the other yoga systems that Krishna is presenting. What else do you remember from this today? Yes.
We don't have to follow all the steps of the yoga ladder according to chronologically. We can just skip everything and go to Bhakti straight.
If we go to Bhakti directly, are we skipping the other yoga systems?
They will come to us. They're included.
They're included. We're not skipping.
We're not skipping.
You can't skip. You've got to have jnana. You've got to have detachment. But we don't need to practice separate yoga systems to develop them. They're automatically achieved through the practice of sadhana bhakti. Okay?
Can I ask a question about this third chapter, about lust?
Yeah?
Nitya Vaidina, eternal life, and
I thought we'd finished with lust.
Okay, I would like to.
Still there a little bit. Oh, okay.
I'd like to know that lust comes from envy or the envy from lust, and how can we relate?
Lust comes from envy or envy from lust?
Or can we, how can we relate to this to fall down on Jesus?
How can we relate, does lust come from envy or envy from lust, how we can relate this to the fall down of the jiva? And that's just after breakfast, huh? Well, I'll try my best because it's my responsibility to answer all, take on all comers. We'll pass the baton to Nityananda Ram. He looks enthused.
Why? Perhaps the jiva was envious of Krishna's position and lusted after
him. Thank you. Touche.
That's the only exit I know on that one.
Touche. Envious of Krishna's position. Therefore, lusting after Krishna's, therefore, a got a material body.
But why jiva is envy?
What?
Why jiva is envy on Krishna?
You're asking me, Dad, or how can I, that's for you to answer. You came here. Okay. I'm supposed to answer that? I mean, you came here. You answer. You know. You know, I can't say. It's how you came here. You know the answer. Just keep chanting Hare Krishna and one day it'll be revealed to you.
She's
assembled. Yeah. So, the main thing with that, actually, Krishna in that section, he describes that the original love of God, or in the purport, Prabhupada gives an analogy of, what's the analogy Prabhupada gives? What's the analogy? What happens to the original love of God?
Transformed into love like milk is transformed into yogurt.
As a result of contact with?
Tamagun.
Yeah, Rajagun. Rajagun. So, the point is that in 13th chapter, Krishna says that the Purusha Prakriti Shto, the jiva situated in Prakriti, Bhunte Prakriti, choice to enjoyment happened in Prakriti, following the modes of material nature. You'll study this in a few weeks. You can enjoy goodness, you can enjoy Raja, you can enjoy Tama, and we enjoy all three mixed, one after another, in combination. What is that? Sattvam bhavati bhuya, what's that? Raja tamas chavi bhuya sattvam bhavati bharata, sometimes sattva becomes predominant. Raja sattvam tamachaiva, sometimes passion becomes predominant, defeating goodness and tama. Tama sattvam rajasata, sometimes tama becomes predominant, defeating goodness and passion. So in this way the living entity is called conditioned. you're pushed around by one to the other, one to the other, all the time. Even sadhika, even after practice, even after taking the Krishna consciousness, we're still pushed around by these. And why are we pushed around? Because we're attached to them. We're attached to them because we take shelter. That's called Mohinim Prakritim Ashrita. We take shelter of the modes because we have to take shelter of something, and because we're not taking shelter of service to Krishna, Devim Prakritim Ashrita, we take shelter of the material we enjoy. So therefore we associate with. And due to association, that produces these bad qualities, like lust. So the original principle is that Bhunkte Prakriti, we want to enjoy, that's it, because we're enjoying, our inclination is to enjoy, so that's it. That's the explanations given in Bhagavad Gita. The original service propensity becomes transformed into lust as a result of the contact with the modes of material nature, which we eagerly embrace because we take shelter there. That's it. Now, why we did that? Well, only you can answer. Only you can answer why we did it, you know? Only you can answer why we did that. Okay, so let's move on. Today, let's have a look at some of the things that are going on in the 6th chapter in a little more detail. We've kind of looked at chapters 3, 4 and 5. Let's have a look at what's going on there. Now in the beginning, Krishna, he kind of identifies these two different levels of Ashtanga Yoga practice. And we'll discuss those in a little more detail shortly. The more advanced and the preliminary practice. And then the actual sadhana practice, yoga, Ashtanga Yoga Sadhana. You don't need to write this down, it's in the handbook. I'm just taking the titles from the paragraph that are there. The Ashtanga Yoga Sadhana. We'll also take a look at that this morning. And then you get Paramatma Realization, Paramatma Darshan, as a result of practicing Ashtanga Yoga Sadhana. What does sadhana mean? Give us a word for sadhana in English.
Practice.
It also has, there's a few different words. Because English, it's hard to get the right words, you know? Because there's another word in Sanskrit, abhyas. Abhyas. That also means practice. But that means like, you know, like regular practice, habit. Abhyas. Abhyasa yoga juktena. But sadhana also has a connotation of effort. Effort. You're pushing. Sadhana also has a connotation of practice, but with effort. With like an effort. Is that a good word, Krishna's Rupa? Effort, struggle, pushing. That's sadhana. Your effort to advance is sadhana. The common word, the Bengali, the common word, sadhana, means your efforts. The practice. So Ashtanga Yoga has sadhana, practice, and we'll see what it is. And then Arjuna, he rejects it, and then we discuss what happens for a fallen yogi, and then we've already discussed a little bit about Same Jukta Uttam. Jukta Uttam, the most connected, the highest connected, Jukta Uttam. Jukta Uttam, the topmost yogi. We already discussed that yesterday. Who's the topmost yogi? Yeah? Can you be more specific? Mad Gatainar Antar Atmana. Antar Atmana means within his heart. Mad Gatainar follows me. Madgatena antar atmana. Within his heart he follows me. In deep inside he surrenders to me. Sradavan bhajate yomam, and he worships me. Same jukta utam. He's the most connected to me. Jukta utam. The first class connected. The topmost connected. Topmost yogi. It's good to learn the word for word. If you're learning the word verse, learn the word for word. Because then you understand the verse and how to apply it in specific application, like Prabhupada would preach the verse. Prabhupada wouldn't every time give the same translation. he would all use different applications because he understood the meaning of the words in the verse. And that gives you so much more capacity to apply the verses. Samyajukta Uttam. He's the most intimate type of yogi. Or he's the Jukta Uttam, he's the topmost yogi. Because you know the words, Jukta Atamaha. Okay, so this is also described in the purports. Why is it called Ashta Anga? Okay, Ashta means eight. Okay. So they're mentioned in the purport by Prabhupada. Krishna is explaining in the beginning stage, which is more like the sadhana. You do these things. Yama is what? Yama and niyama means?
Rules and regulations.
To accept and to not accept, yama and niyama. That's like moral principles. Moral principles are there for Astanga Yoga. Moral principles.
Not lying, not stealing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. And asan. Okay. We all know what that is, asan.
Sit properly.
Sit properly. Prabhupada said. And then pranayama. Actually, pranayama is interesting. Pranayama actually means really. The pranas are in the body, you know, there's 10 different airs, that are, there's the apan and vayu, and Prabhupada in the purports he explains them in different places. And they actually cause the functioning of the body, the locomotive of the body, and like, you know, the, all the moving of things, like passing out and thing, it's all done by prana. And so it's subtle energy, prana is subtle energy, which is... the locomotive aspects of the body operated. Just like hydraulics. I think that's the word, hydraulics. It means that, you know, in engineering, things are done with, you know, like pressure and stuff. There's prana in the body that operates that. And so it's subtle energy, and therefore by controlling the prana, you can remove all the disease from the body, because it's much more subtle than simply the gross elements of the body, which are kind of manipulated by the subtle energy, the prana. And it also affects the mind, the prana. And the pranayama practice, actually, really, pranayama practice means the kumbhaka. Kumbhaka. Kumbhaka means breath retention, or holding the breath. Antaranga kumbhaka is when you breathe out and you hold the breath out. Antaranga kumbhaka. And Bahiranga Kumbhaka, no, I think the other way around. Yeah, Bahiranga Kumbhaka, you breathe out and you don't breathe in for a long time. And Antaranga Kumbhaka, you breathe in and you don't breathe out. You hold the breath. That's when it's pranayama. Otherwise, it's not all the other things that they do, like, that's not actually pranayama. That's called kriya. It's called kriya. It means cleansing the... It's not actually like this Bhastrika and Kapala, but all these things. They're kriya. Yeah, that's kriya. It cleanses the lungs and the blood. But pranayama actually means when you hold the breath long, long time. And the idea is that they practice long, many years, and they can hold the breath for a long, long time. Sitting in the asan. And then pratyahara means that the senses are turned around. So you're no longer, the senses are internalized. You know, you're stopping the seeing, you know, stopping the hearing, and they listen within, all this sort of stuff, pratyahara. And dharana means what? Dharana.
Concentration.
This is also mechanical. Concentration. Dharana is concentration. Concentration. On the breath. For these guys, it's on the breath, or it may be on, in the Ashtanga, they concentrate on the chakras. They concentrate on the chakras, and gradually they're able to, you know, build up there until they're concentrating on the Agya chakra. That's how they concentrate. It means they don't let the mind wander to another place. Concentrate on the chakras. Even many of you do asana, they teach you can concentrate on the chakras when you do an asana. To get increased effect for the health and the mind. And then you get into the higher levels. Begin, the first one is dhyana. Dhyana means
meditation.
Yeah. So it's interesting that there's this distinction between concentration and meditation. The distinction, they're different levels, they're distinct. What do they meditate on? Well, different things. But ideally, classically, it would be the form of the Lord in the heart. And then samadhi is absorption. So, that's Ashtanga Yoga, and you gradually progress. Takes a long time, may take many lives to do that, to progress on that. May take many lives, and therefore you see sometimes these people take birth and already they have yogic siddhis. Because already they've developed perfection in powers, and therefore they're already at a higher level. And you can read these books, these different yogis, and right from they're already practiced in the previous lives, so they're already at a high level. But it may take many lives before they can actually, you know, enter achieve the unbroken absorption samadhi. Ekalavya.
And in this endeavor of bhakti yoga, there's no loss or diminution.
Yeah.
Then whatever bhakti we achieve in this life comes in the next life. We can bring with us. I was of the impression that bhakti was unique in this aspect, that whatever else we attain, whatever money we get, whatever education we get, material, and it doesn't come with us to the next life.
Yeah.
So how is it that these yogis are not practicing bhakti, but they're carrying their abilities from one life to the next?
Yeah, well, you can look at it. First of all, there is a quote that we put in the quote books where Prabhupada says, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, and Karma Yoga results are carried on from over different lives. That quote is there? You saw that quote? It's there. It's in the book. It's in the book. You saw that?
No.
It's not in the book. Anyway, there is a quote there. You can read. Just do a search on Vedabase. In the 66th lecture, Prabhupada said that. And I can. But even Varnashram Dharma results are carried over. Even Varnashram Dharma results are carried over to previous lives. So it is not exactly spiritual. Doesn't mean that spiritual is like eternal. Bhakti is eternal. That's the difference. That progress, that because Krishna never forgets the service that we do. So no matter what we do, that's an eternal credit, devotional service. It's eternally credited. But these, like the mystic power, it's not spiritual, but it can carry over different lives. But it doesn't make it spiritual. It's still material, but it still may carry over different lives. Even Varnashram Dharma results, punya, they carry over different lives, but they're not spiritual. But the bhakti is spiritual. It's eternally, because you're acting on the eternal platform, Sanatana Dharma, you're functioning as a servant of Krishna, so you're acting on the eternal platform, so that the credits are being eternally recorded in your eternal depository. You see the difference?
Could it be the sense? When the soul leaves and goes to
the
new body, the subtle body also goes with it.
Yeah. So yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, these are subtle achievements. Mystic powers are subtle achievements.
What is the actual difference between Dharan and
Dharan and?
Yeah.
Yeah, we said that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Dharan means concentration, means that you'll actually, it's by force, you're concentrating the mind on a particular point. Even in the Gita verses, Krishna says, Bruro Madhyay. You concentrate on the Agya Chakra between the eyes. That means you just, by mechanical, you just fix the mind on that point. You meditate on that point in the body, and you think about it. That's called concentration. But meditation is something which is more not done through concentration, but done through like the mind stopping. On the impersonal method, the mind is not thinking anything. But, you know, that's just kind of like, I'm not an expert in this.
Probably in the dictionary you can find the explanation of meditation that it is total absorption in something.
Okay. Different that meanings can be there in meditation. Okay, enough on meditation. It's not so relevant for us. You know.
Okay, what's that? What is chakra?
What?
What chakra?
Well, the chakras are. Yeah. Well, I don't know what the chakras are. Well, one thing interesting that from what I've read, that only the human body has the chakras, or all the chakras. And that the lower species, they may have some of the lower chakras only, and that's why that the human body is the only one that can actually award self-realization. And what they are, energy centers, in English there's the word solar plexus. I mean, you can so many, do a search on Google, the chakras, so many things are there. The chakras influence all sorts of things in the body. Subtle energy centers, they influence the functions of the body in the different areas. But they're not, you can't cut open the body, you won't see them. They're subtle energy centers. And six of them. Beginning at the Mula, you know, what's that called? Muladhara. Muladhara, which is at the bottom of the spine. And they're situated on the spine, Muladhara. And then, who knows what they are, doesn't matter what they are. Next one is around the genital area, in between the genital and the anus. Yeah. And then the next one is around the stomach, the navel. And then heart chakra, and then throat chakra, thyroid. And then there's between the eyebrows, and then the top of the head. And so they're there for the, about dealing with the subtle, subtle working of the ego and the mind. And the yogis, by this process, actually in 8th chapter, Krishna called it Sat Chakra Yoga. Sat Chakra Yoga. Six chakras are there. And there is a gradually, the consciousness is brought up to the highest chakra. And there's a picture in the books of the yogi, he's leaving their body at the, from Brahmarandra. He's able to fix the consciousness there, and he's able to leave at that place, from that place, hole in the head. So that's perfection of Sat Chakra Yoga and the Sangha Yoga system. And they can, you know, Prabhupada's got the book Easy Journey to Other Planets. He's describing this system that the yogis, they get to the point, they meditate on a particular deity, and at will they leave the body. And they can control the time of leaving the body so that the channels for achieving that deity's planet are opened. It's a pretty scientific process. And they leave the body and go off to that place. But if you want that, if you want more information on this from an authorized source without having to go to all the Mayavadi stuff, you can ask Banu Maharaj about it. He knows all this stuff. Ask Banu Maharaj. We'll ask him to give a seminar on the chakras. He even says that putting on tilak on the body, it stimulates the chakral impulse. Chakras, that's what he said. So ask him about chakras. He'll give you all sorts of interesting stuff. Without having to associate with the Mayavadis, they're into the chakras. There was, yes, Prabhu.
In one of Prabhupada's lectures, one time, he said that he was in a Kamba Mela, I don't know which period, but some of the yogis who were in this Kamba Mela were young, but they were 400, 500 years old.
Yeah.
It seems very difficult to read from the sources.
Yeah, no, not everything's easy in life. So anyway, why not? Because of the pranayama, because they slow down the breath. We have an allotment of breaths in this life, and therefore by practicing the pranayama they reduce the breathing, and therefore their allotment is extended by reducing the breathing. Okay, now what is the key? Let's move on a little bit. What is the key issue in the Ashtanga Yoga practice? What is the key point of interest and significance in the Ashtanga Yoga practice? They can love you, Prabhu.
Meditation on Paramatma.
You can say that's the goal, but in practice, but what's the key? What's the real feel? What's the real ball game all about in this type of meditation?
Shesh?
Seva. Seva. Another Seva. Going on? The body.
The mind.
Yeah, all this is about controlling the mind. Yeah, all this is about controlling the mind. Therefore, in text 6 it says this. The verse is there. You can read the verse? Someone read the verse? Mandula, 6.
Atmanastu Shatruve Arte Atmaiva Shatruva.
I think the third one is Anatmana, uncultured mind. So the mind is either going to be your friend or your enemy. So the whole purpose of the Asanga Yoga system is to make the mind your enemy, your friend. And currently our mind is the enemy. And then in the purport, Prabhupada quotes this verse, I'm reading the Bindu Upanishad. Mana eva manushanam karanam bandha mokshaya. What does that mean? Karanam bandha mokshaya.
Cause of bondage and liberation.
Yeah. We know that you know it. Karanam bandha mokshaya. The cause of bondage or liberation is the mind. Bandhaya Vishaya Shango, that the Bandhaya Vishaya Shanga, a mind that is Vishaya Shanga. Vishaya Shanga means associating with the object, the senses. Vishaya Shanga. Bandha is the cause of bondage. Muktai Nirvishayam Manaha. Nirvishayam Manaha means a mind which is not meditating on sense happiness. Is the cause of liberation. So the mind that's meditating on sense enjoyment, that's the cause of bondage. The mind that's not meditating on sense enjoyment, that's the cause of liberation. So the Asanga process is all about controlling the mind. In more focused way, more and more concentrated way. Even when you look, yama and niyama, of course you need to have some mind control there, but even in asan practice, that's the difference between asan practice and gymnastics. That in asan practice, you're actually working on the mind. Because the mind, when you get into these positions, the mind begins to protest. Let me out. Mind begins to protest. And so you have to ignore the mind and go deeper into the posture and stay there longer. That is asan practice. That's the difference between asan and simple aerobics. That the mind, you have to learn to ignore the mind and go deeper and deeper and deeper into the asan. And actually there is an enjoyment there. There is an enjoyment there in doing that. Before giving up this body, a person is able to control the urges of karma, krodha, lobha, sajukta, sajsuki, nara. He's happy and he's properly situated. Before this giving up this body, if you're able to control those urges. That's the fifth chapter. That's jnana. Alright, so anyway, the point is that it's about the mind. It's all about the mind. And they stay, they stay in, it's called asan siddhi. Asan siddhi. You stay in the posture for many hours. Many hours. It's not easy to do that. You have to have a controlled mind to do that. To sit in Padmasana for 4 or 5 hours. Not easy to do that. And then you get strength, of controlling the mind. You get strength, and then you're able to ascend, as Ananda Shesh mentioned. It's all about your your strength that you build up, you're able to ascend to the higher levels. And there's a few quotes Prabhupada makes in the purport.
The purpose of practicing baseball yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictation of lust, anger, heart, illusion, and strife.
And then there's a lecture quote here. You can read this one. Wild horses.
The mind is the driver. If you ask your driver, please get me into Krishna consciousness temple, the driver will bring you here. And if you ask your driver, please get me in that liquor house, the driver will drive you there. The driver's business is to drive you wherever you like. Similarly, your mind is the driver. If you lose control, then wherever he likes, he will take you. And then you are gone. Then your driver is your enemy. But if your driver acts on your order, then he is your friend.
Now, let's make a list. Some of the things, just from what you remember, what are some of the things what are some of the aspects involved in a Sangha Yoga practice? You can remember they're mentioned there in these verses. Some of the things, somebody can make that right for us, we'll make a list of the things they have to do. Take a look.
You have to go to a solitary place.
Take a look and jot down for them. Have to be alone. Have I?
You gotta sit down, head back, straight.
Okay, yes, so you have to have the posture, asana posture.
Okay, no.
Okay, look at the nose. You
gotta have to push the ground in front of the water.
Yeah. Gotta be released with the dead. It depends on what you sit on. You have to learn how to sit properly, no slouching. You can't practice yoga like this. it even has an effect when you chant. Have you tried the difference between chanting japa like this and compared to this? It's different, right? Yeah. So the way you sit affects your mind. What else?
Well,
the first 5 minutes, they go to a sanctified place. Not just alone, it has to be a holy place. It has to be a holy place. Tapovan. Huh? Tapovan, I think Dhruva Maharaj went to Tapovan. Dhruva Maharaj is Tapovan?
Madhuvan.
Yeah, a holy place. A place where they're in the forest, where the sages are, Himalayas, or a sacred river, beside a sacred river. What else?
Is it deer skin required?
Deer skin. Tiger skin, no?
Deer skin.
Deer skin so the tigers don't come.
Snakes
don't come.
Celibacy.
That's there.
Strict celibacy.
You know deer skins are illegal in India? You know?
Really?
Yeah? You're not allowed to have.
Are there any deer in your family?
We used to have deer in Mayapur. Really? Yeah, 10 years ago we had a park with deer. Yeah, deer skins are illegal. You can get on the black market for meditation.
And a soft
cloth. Soft cloth, yeah, it's all on the outside. So I remember a program in Bangladesh with the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis, and the big guru was sitting on a deer skin.
Guru Maharaj has one.
Huh? He has. Other things?
Not too low, not too high.
What else? Other things? I was thinking about this tapovan. You know tapovan? You have to go to the austerity place. Now, it's interesting. Maybe I'll tell you that story later. not now. The tip of the tip of the nose. Anything else will we remember? Eat little. Control the eating.
Breath control.
Control the breathing. Control the eating. What about you can do a little business on the side?
No.
Internet, a little bit
of cow.
Which one?
Cow.
You have to be completely dedicated. No part-time stuff. No weekend yogis. You have to be completely dedicated. And Prabhu said, control the senses.
You can't tell it.
Fearless, good. Fearless. Good. Thank you, Dimitri. We've got quite a few things on the list here. Let's have a look. We've got a chart here which has got the things with the Sanskrit written in there, and we can check how we went with our brainstorm. Why don't you take a seat, Dimitri? Thank you. Let's have a look at some of the things. Ekaki. Have to be on your own. A holy place. Sanctified place. I mean, still you do see when you go to these places, you don't see so many yogis in the suburbs. They actually do congregate in the places there, you know, Himalayas, Rishikesh and beyond. And some other holy dhams. Ujjain, I was in Ujjain recently. That's not near the Himalayas, but there's some yogis there in Ujjain. It's a holy place. They have Kumbh Mela in Ujjain every 12 years or whatever, Ujjain, one of the four places. And Rameshwaram, there you'll see yogis down there, Rameshwaram.
Badrinath,
that's it, Himalayas, of course. But different, not just the Himalayas, other holy places.
There's lots of yogis along the river and mountains.
Okay, yeah. I mean also even in Vrindavan you see.
Ahovalam,
yeah. So in these holy places.
Coming soon is Kanasagar, Nema.
Yeah.
He's going to be also having a pondo there.
Okay.
Whole lot of yogis go there.
Okay, Ganga Sagar Mela, if you want to go, it's in January 15, take a couple of days from study, get permission from your teacher. But there's a bus that goes from here. In the previous years we took time off. So it was a pretty wild program, so we kind of thought that we might not do that. If you go, it's your own decision. It's quite a wild program.
Yeah,
wild?
Why?
Ah, just because of, you know, that's a Bengal festival. Oftentimes they're a little out of control, people and, you know, everything and the arrangements, and you know, it's unpredictable is probably a better word. We got that. Hold still. That's an interesting one. Hold still. We didn't have that on our list. Not only on our list, we got you have to sit on the deer, not too high, not too low. But when you sit there, you have to be still. Achalam. For a long time. Have to be still.
You mean that you don't have to move?
Yeah. Not moving. I was listening. Because I understand Bengali language, and I was listening one time on the TV to this pravachan of this Ramakrishna sannyasi. The reason why we were listening is because he had tilak on. So it was kind of interesting. He had Vaishnava tilak, he was Ramakrishna sannyasi, so we were wondering what he was saying. So anyway, he was saying that he was meditating with the Vaishnava, and they were sitting down together, and these Ramakrishna people, they practice meditation, impersonal meditation. And he said that I was sitting there, they do everything, they do asana and then they do breathing, and then they do the meditation. And he said, and the Vaishnava, he was, you know, he was on the TV, he was blaspheming Vaishnava, literally, it was...
Huh?
Yeah, well, we were kind of tricked in there because he was wearing tilak. And then he's saying, and then the Vaishnava was sitting and the Vaishnava was doing his meditation, and the Vaishnava was going like this. And he's saying, you know, how can you meditate like that? Huh? When you're moving. How can you meditate when you're moving? I mean, you see, there's videos of Prabhupada walking up and down in the afternoon in LA chanting japa. Walking up and down. But that's Mahaprabhu's mercy. What is that? that smarane na, has it start? Niyamate smarane na kalaham, has it start? Tatrapi da niyamate smarane na kalaha. There's no niyamate smarane na kalaha. There's no rules about, you know, how you do it to remember the Lord. Anyway, any kirtani asada hari, whether you're moving, whether you're walking, Radha Krishna, what is that? Krishna bole, what is it? Krishna bolo. Radha Krishna bolo, ushange chalo. Ei matrubika chai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Radha Krishna bolo, ushange chalo. He says, move and chant Hare Krishna. Ushange chalo. Chalo means move. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, move and chant Hare Krishna. In other words, it's so powerful that even if you're moving, it's still going to be purifying. But this, you can't move. But you can try sometime, just experiment, chanting japa and not moving. You can try. Actually, I was invited to a japa retreat in Bangladesh a couple of years ago, and I was explaining to the devotees how you can try, you know, sitting in an asana and not moving and chanting four rounds. Without moving, don't move. It's actually, to try it. Because oftentimes we, you know, we do this because actually in the mind, you know, we want to get away from the sound. We want to get away from the concentration on the name. And so anything, you know, any way that we can sort of like have something else which is stimulating, we'll go for it. It's a fact. But if you stop all that and you've just got the sound and the mantra and listening, it's intense. You practice, you try. Chanting a few rounds without moving. You sit in, you get a comfortable asana, you sit there, you don't move. See if you can do four rounds. Don't even move your head. Just move your fingers. There's nowhere to go except the sound. There's nowhere to go. So anyway, that's something you can try. So it is good. It is good. You can reduce the... Even Prabhupada said sit properly. It does have an effect. If you can sit and be still, it can improve your concentration. But if you can't, still, if you move around, you can chant Hare Krishna. There's still no... It's not forbidden. It'll still be purifying. Devoid of fear, that was mentioned. Celibacy. Compulsory in the Ashtanga Yoga School. Unagitated, not worried about things. No other occupation, no other. Nirvana Parama means that you're dedicated to this. You have to be. Parama means it's the main objective of your life. It won't work if it's just a part-time thing. These guys, well, it's on the Lord in the heart, that's Paramatma, that's Vishnu. Yeah. Because when you talk about Krishna, then, well in Krishna consciousness, the method of connecting to Krishna is not by our meditative competency, but it's by Krishna's qualities that attract our mind. And Krishna's Leela, Krishna's name, Krishna's seva, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's dham, all these things attract our minds. So it's a different, our approach is different. The super soul doesn't, it's different. It's more by the mechanical process. Narayan Rishi, Narayan Rishi.
There's a machita up there in the 10th chapter.
Yeah. Machita. And regulated, all those things are there. Okay, so any question on the actual practice?
I have a question about the... Because many devotees are practicing asanas and pranayama. Do you think that this is beneficial for chanting and for the devotees? Or is it a waste of time?
What's the purpose of doing it?
More concentration on the mantra.
Well, that's probably... you won't find anywhere you've studied nectar devotion, and you won't find anywhere where Rupa Goswami said that practicing pranayama or asana will be conducive to awakening prema. So therefore it's not considered part of sadhana practice or bhakti, okay? So if you're doing it to help your bhakti, you have a misunderstanding. But many devotees do for health. So that's different. That's different. And actually you can discuss with the GBC Minister for Health, Prabhadananda Swami, and there is actually a GBC, what are they called, resolution, that temples should provide facility for and encourage, not necessarily encourage, but they should allow and provide facility for ashram residents to practice yoga asana for health. And many temples, they actually provide a teacher. I know in Champari they provided a yoga teacher in the morning, 6:30 to 7, a yoga teacher. And some devotees like to use example Gauranga Das Brahmachari, the famous Brahmachari, Gauranga Das Brahmachari. Mm-hmm. Gauranga Prabhu? He does every morning, 1 hour, Hatha Yoga. Every morning he does. And why does he do it? Not because it's increasing his bhakti. He does it because it keeps him healthy for his service. He says, he comments that he has more, ability, health and vitality for serving Krishna. So if you do it for that, that's fine.
Him and like the there in April, when him and the BT boys, they do something with power yoga.
Yeah.
It's like they go in and also it becomes a stretch.
Yeah. Well, that's all the poisons coming out of your body. And there's others, like you can do, they can do short, quick Surya Namaskar. That's powerful.
Bhakti Mark Swami does it every time before the general practice.
Bhakti Mark Swami does Surya Namaskar. Yeah, you can do Surya Namaskar. That's, you get energy from the sun, attracting the solar energy, it purifies the body, releases toxins, cleanses all the, also affects chakras, and, these things are, they're much better than they're Vedic systems of keeping the body healthy. So, Jukta Hara, everything you can do in a regulated way. Not that we spend 6 hours a day doing yoga asana and no time for seva or book distribution or preaching, but like that, half an hour a day, it's not going to be dangerous. And the pranayama also, we're not doing that for a Brahman realization. They may be doing that because pranayama also is powerful for cleansing the body disease. And sometimes pranayama may be or as I mentioned before, the kriya may be specifically for those who have specific disease like asthmatic disease or blood pressure, diabetes. These things can be treated by pranayama properly done. So what's the harm? You may say, it's probably better than spending so much money on synthetic,
pharmaceuticals, drugs, yeah, all this sort of stuff. We've got to look after this body somehow.
What have you practicing? Some aspects of the asana yoga or wild chanting, like you breathe in at a certain time.
Interesting question, that one, Abhay. Well, the point is that Mahaprabhu said that, what is that, we just chanted the verse, had a Sipahuna, Bahuni, no, so many names. That means there's no rules about, how you breathe when you chant. No rules about it. So therefore, if you want to breathe deeply when you're chanting and it helps you, there's no rule against that. If you find that breathing deeply when you chant, it helps you, breathing deeply, and then extending that, if you find that helps you, that's not forbidden because there's no hard and fast rules with the chanting. Okay. Now, any other question on the Sangha Yoga?
I just want to say that I experiment those who do some java after yoga classes, and it does help you can concentrate on the time vibration.
Yeah, sure.
Very much.
Yeah. If it's a, yeah, why not?
Because it's that part of the mind, yeah. Your mind is not that.
So you may find that when you take a few deep breaths, you may find that deep breath, breathing deeply, helps improve your japa. Breathing deeply, because actually the breath does have an effect on the mind. The breath does have an effect on the mind. That's why you see, because the breathing changes when the mind changes. Like immediately a person becomes angry, the breath changes. That's what happens. There's a connection between the breath and the mind. A person gets excited, the breath gets short. Or a baby crying, that's actually a pranayama. Especially a pranayama, because they hear the sound and the sound gives them some relief from the pain. There's pranayama like that. Brahmari pranayama, this one. All these things. So therefore, if the mind will be the changes in the mind will manifest in your breathing. If you change the breathing, it can affect the mind. You can, if your mind is upset, then you can breathe deeply, and the mind will become pacified. It's science. It's yogic science. So you can try when they're chanting, breathe deeply. More regulated, have a more regulated breath, you'll find that it'll improve your chanting, why not? No harm in that. We're not sitting and just breathing without chanting.
Or chanting without breathing.
Right, but the point is we're chanting, and then whatever helps your chanting, that's good, fine, no problem. And the point is to chant. Any other question on the... Even the sitting process, as we said, the way you sit. Prabhupada said, sit properly. Okay, does that mean just by sitting you're going to get prema? Right? No, but it can help. You have to sit somehow or other. So why not sit properly? Sit in asana. If you look at Pancharatrika Pradipa, it'll describe that there's three recommended asanas for Vaishnavas to practice. There's three asanas recommended for Vaishnavas to practice. Anyone know what they are? Vajrasana is not mentioned there. That's not mentioned either. Three asanas. Is Sukhasana is mentioned? That's the one Prabhupada usually sits in, Sukhasana. And there is Siddhasana and there is Padmasana. And they're recommended for archana, for doing puja, or for chanting Gayatri. In the Pancharatrika Pradipa you can see recommended asanas.
What are they again?
Siddhasan, Padmasan and Sukhasan. Siddha, Asan. Siddhasan.
Can you demonstrate?
I can, but I'm not going to. Now, what happens when you're after practicing all of this? You get this. Actually, on that question, I sit in Padmasana and I chant japa 2 hours. For me, it makes a difference. It takes a while. When you get up in the morning, you can't sit in it immediately, but after half an hour of japa, then I move into Padmasana and then I stay there. And for me, it makes a difference to my japa, personally. Padmasana. Because the blood is not flowing there, because it's like a bandha. And all the energy doesn't really, you're like the lower half of your body, you put it into inactive
standby
mode, and the asana actually stops the energy flowing from down there. One of these ones, they stop the energy flowing, and so the energy is retained in the upper half of the body and in the brain and in the mind, and you've got a lot more energy than it has if the blood has to flow all the way down. So you can, there's technical things, scientific things that can help with your concentration. Then you get this. Someone like to read? Okay. Another one you see devotees doing, like Radhanath Swami and others doing, is mudra when chanting. Mudra. mudra. I mean, Rupa Goswami doesn't write in Nupadesha Bhakti Rasamrita, the mudra is there for, but mudra is there in Archana. But mudra, why not? You've got to do something with your hands. So the simple mudras you can get, you can see so many mudras. Jnana mudra. Jnana mudra. And Prabhupada also sometimes would display Jnana mudra. Jnana mudra. And just by, I have a book called Mudra Vigyan. Mudra Vigyan, the science of mudra. These guys, they just by doing the mudra, they do their sadhana practice. For 2 or 3 hours, they sit in Jnana mudra. That's all they do. Jnana mudra. Actually, that is Jnana, just like that. But then we do like that. This is Vairagya mudra. Vairagya mudra produces vairag. Produces renunciation. When you put on your knee, produces renunciation. And this is jnana, when it's like that. Jnana mudra. When it's like that, it's renunciation. Produces renunciation.
In the picture
of
Krishna,
like
this,
Rajana? And over here in Simantini Mandir in Rajapur, Mahaprabhu is there with mudra, showing Simantini Ashirvad. And another, there are many. And then another easy one is this one. This is Prana mudra. You know, peace sign? Like that is Prana mudra. Instead of that finger and that finger, those two fingers. That is Prana mudra. It gives vitality to the body. There are many, many different mudras. That is Prana mudra. And there's all different ones. But like that.
Stop picture of Prabhupada online. Like, more different, like, I know it's coming from like a...
That's Surya mudra.
Even there's
the pictures of Christ. It's like this. You can see pictures of Christ.
What's that one?
Surya mudra.
Surya.
Yeah.
What's that one
do? It helps rectify the sun element in the body. You know, there's because the different you got the different fingers there for the different elements: water, earth, fire. And so if you have. If you have a disorder, like you do the mudra, it can help balance the, you know, those vata and different things. And this is science. Actually, we can learn these things, and there's Ayurvedic science, astrology, yoga science. Devotees make a living out of this, and why not? It's better than, like I said, it's better than father's pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceuticals are just exploiting the people, taking all their money. Okay, that's what you get. Now, what did after explaining all this system to Arjuna, how did Arjuna respond? Let's see. Can you take a look at verses 33 and 34? Can you take a look at verses 33 and 34 with a partner and discuss how practical is this process for the modern age? We don't mean aspects of it, like you said, okay, you can assist and do Prana mudra, it's not so impractical. But to do everything. How practical is this? You've got to do everything.
Yeah.
You can't just pick and choose. You've got to do the whole thing if you're going to go to this.
Could you watch
Can we have your attention? So how practical is the Ashtanga Yoga process for the modern age?
Impractical,
okay. Why is that? What are some of the things Prabhupada says in the purports there? Pavitra?
Life's
not long enough. Takes too long. What else?
We cannot go to the secular places.
There's no more. Everywhere there's Airtel and Vodafone towers and all the vibrations in the environment, all people's
We're a little biologically different nowadays because from birth we sat in a high chair, then we sat in other chairs, and we were raised in a family where we just sat on the floor our whole life.
Yeah.
Or sat on a cushion our whole life. So we're predisposed to environmental conditions.
Yeah, we lack the training in austerity.
Prabhupada says it's not practical. In the purport to verse 33, he says, Prabhupada writes, people are not serious about self-realization, even by simple practical means. And what to speak of this difficult yoga system, which regulates the mode of living, the manner of sitting, selection of place, and detachment of the mind from material engagement.
Yeah. What about Arjuna? What did Prabhupada comment about Arjuna? Yes, Michael.
Arjuna had the best chance of practicing yoga properly, and he
I mean, Arjuna's qualification, you know, he went to the spiritual sky. Arjuna went to the spiritual sky and saw Lord Vishnu. Alone, he actually defeated the Kuru army. And before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna alone defeated them. In the story.
That's about
4,000
to 5,000.
Yeah, 5,000. And Arjuna says it's too difficult. The Prabhupada comments, I think, maybe I'll put a quote up here. What to read? Someone can read this?
Just imagine what is his qualification. He is direct friend of Krishna. He is a great warrior. He has got administrative capacity and at the same time knowledge. Comparing his knowledge with Bhagavad Gita, he understood within 1 hour. This Bhagavad Gita, it is not understood in one life at the present moment. He understood this Bhagavad Gita in 1 hour. So how much intelligent he was, and he belonged to the royal family, all facilities were there. He is accepting that it is not possible for me. Do you think what was impossible for Arjuna 5,000 years before in such favorable circumstances is it possible for you? Do you belong to the Arjuna category? No, we are 1,000 times lower than Arjuna's category. And what was impossible for Arjuna, do you think it is possible for you?
Okay, so not possible. And what about the, you know, all these yoga schools? It's big in America. It's like, how many people? 30 million?
It's huge. Every street corner you find a yoga studio.
So, does that mean, yes, Ananda Mohan? I'll come back to that. I haven't finished. We'll come back to that.
So it's becoming big, so that means now it's becoming more practical?
No, it's more lucrative.
Okay.
It's also more perverted.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't know about America, but
it's really for the health.
Yes.
So, no, there's no mention of anything even remotely spiritual.
Yeah, remotely spiritual.
Right. The big up and coming thing is naked co-ed yoga.
We went to, I'll say something about that. I went with Praladananda Maharaj. We went to yoga class, the yoga class, this was a long time ago. In Melbourne, we went to the one yoga. Actually, Praladananda Swami teaches yoga, you know, you want to learn some. We went there, and, you know, we're in the class, and the guy's giving the instructions, and he's saying, okay, Swami, you know, Swami, move your foot a little bit like that, and it was funny hearing him saying that. And after we were talking to the guy, and we were saying, you know what, you get initiation, he was a teacher, this is Iyengar. You get initiation, he's going, oh, nothing like that, no. There's nothing spiritual. But they have the birthday, the guy, this Iyengar guy, he's about 95. Like a lion, you know, it's not healthy. But yeah, it's all about health. Like I say, I don't know in America, but I'm sure it's about health. I've been to a few yoga schools in India. Mysore and Rishikesh, and it's all, as Prabhu said, you know, what they're getting is naked toe yoga, but it was mainly girls who were taking the classes.
It's 80% girls and like 10, and then 10% of the, and then half, 50% of the guys are gay.
Yeah, and the girls are a little bit chubby, right? A little bit chubby, and they're losing weight, and this is the whole thing. You won't find, you may find very rare here and there up in the Himalayas some authentic yogis, but is it actually something that for all of humanity can have a spiritual use?
Absolutely not.
No, it's not going to work compared to, you know, that's why Mahaprabhu's come, you know, to give us the energy. Om Shodi Maya Nashi Bharalagi. You bought the medicine, you just drink it, hurry on, you don't need to do all this.
Who is the pioneer of preaching this and the yoga?
I don't know who the pioneer was.
Yenga was pretty
early. Cool. You got the extreme could love the yoga now as well. People go to love the yoga, people.
Now, the thing is that, let's look at these, and Ananda Mohan wanted to see this again. Let's take a look at this again, this screen. Now, As we were discussing yesterday with Jnana Yoga, that Yasvayam Padana Bhasha Muka Padna Vini Sritaha. These are the transcendental words emanating from the lotus lips of Patanala, the Supreme Lord, from whom navel the lotus sprouts. But similarly with Jnana Yoga, there's nothing wrong or unbonafide with what Krishna is saying with Jnana Yoga. And similarly, these principles, you know, these are perfect. But when we were looking at its application, it's difficult to apply and the perversions of it. Now my question is, in Krishna conscious practice of sadhana bhakti, are we able to practically actually follow some of these principles? So what are some of the principles we can actually practically do by the practice of sadhana bhakti?
Brahmachari Vrata.
Okay, yeah, we do that in Krishna consciousness.
And Shuchadeshe.
Okay.
Temple.
We live in the temple. To create a spiritual, we have Ashram. In a Grihastha Ashram.
We have Jiva.
What else?
Yukta.
Regulated.
Where's my point?
Regulated. Where is yukta, 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 yukta?
Lockdown.
Okay, regulated, only eat prasadam. Yeah, okay. Alright, we definitely do this. Much jita, by chanting.
You can do
yours. You can sit on asan, woolen asan. Get a woolen asan or a kushagras asan, you can get.
Oh dear skin,
be careful. We are fearless, yep. Fearless. Nirvana Parama. What do we do? Are we in material life or spiritual life?
Spiritual life.
When did you take the spiritual life? Spiritual life. Huh? It's a spiritual life. We're in spiritual life. Prashanta, unagitated.
Ekaki.
Ekaki? Ekaki? We alone?
Ekaki.
Okay, japa, but they even do that in the group, the japa group. At this one, probably we don't do so much because we're what type of anandis are we? Yeah, we're goshti anandis. Goshti anandi, the outline is goshti anandi, it means it lives in a society, not the bhajan anandi who live on their own. We're goshti anandis. So, akaki ama nahi paya bala harinama shankirtan. We're not alone, but. We're not the principal. Why should they be alone? Why is it important to be alone?
Quiet.
Yeah?
No disturbance.
And what is there when you're alone? There's no?
Distraction.
There's no asat sangha. There's no asat sangha. So if you have sat sangha, then there's no asat sangha. So the principle of being alone we fulfill by having sadhu sangha. Sat sangha. Okay? So we can see that actually these principles in Krishna conscious practice that Prabhupada has given us, sadhana bhakti, rupa goswami system, actually we have a much better chance of doing those things than if you do try and do it in the Asanga Yoga process. So these are all the glories of bhakti. Alright. And we'll skip through this, but this is what happens when you fall down. What happens when you fall down? If you fall down, what happens on the Asanga Yoga practice? So also evidence that it goes, that the results are held over several lives. What are the things that happen?
In the next life you imprison an aristocratic family or a family of
spiritual men. Suchinam Srimatam, a pious or a religious family or a Srimatam, a wealthy family. And what's the advantage of that?
Someone told me that the advantage of being born in a wealthy family was that in the previous times in wealthy families they would opulently worship the deity.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Okay, so then there's facility, you don't have to struggle just to make a livelihood. Okay, that's an advantage. And the Suchinam, of course, you get training. And then the other family, Acharya family, Prabhupada, what example does Prabhupada give for Acharya families? Himself and Bhakti Sarasvati Thakur. That got Vaishnava families from the very beginning. Okay, so all these things are there. And then in the purport, Prabhupada, he analyzes like this. The Krishna says that there's always auspiciousness, and Prabhupada is explaining that vikarmi inauspicious, karma kind of marginal, but the really auspicious path is the yoga path of yoga systems, which will be spiritual. You're on the spiritual progressive path. Okay, so that's kind of the sixth chapter summary touched on some of the significant and relevant points for us. We're going to have a break. Let's look at this. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll give you a bit of a break now. And in the break, we'll give you a little exercise so that you can think about it, and we can do the two things at the same time without having to keep moving in and out of our sitting. Let's take a look particularly at some of the statements in the sixth chapter and other sections. We're looking for some statements. When we talk about the mood and the mission, what we're talking about, really what we're looking for, is statements that tend to demonstrate or indicate Prabhupada's feelings. Okay, his feelings about things. How does Prabhupada, the emphasis, you know, how Prabhupada feels strongly about some things. Like, for example, you can read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's 64 items. One of them is Sankirtan. One of them is Sankirtan. Now, you would say that Prabhupada's mission, what does he stress? What are the activities for us? Okay, it's stressed. So Prabhupada, out of his jurisdiction as Acharya, he can emphasize some things over others. Okay, so that's an example. That's in the mood of Prabhupada, is more emphasis on preaching and book distribution than let's say, you know, residing in the Holy Dham. That's not as important as preaching. That's Prabhupada's mood. But Rupa Goswami, he may present them equally like that. But the Acharya can say, well, put in more emphasis on some than others. So that's the sort of thing we're looking at. The Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada's personal little secrets, his feelings about things, is the emphasis that he's putting on things. Let's look for those types of statements regarding the yoga practice, regarding the yoga systems, regarding the yoga ladder. And then after identifying some of the statements that you feel reflect that, discuss what's the significance of these statements for us. Okay, identify statements and then discuss the significance of them for us. Okay, in ISKCON. Okay? Now I'll give you some specific references to look at. We're going to look at these four verses. We'll divide into two groups. Everybody on the left-hand side of Michael and Ananda Mohan, that's you guys from all over there, you can look at verses chapter 3, text 5, chapter 3, text 29. And you guys can look at the others, 525 and 632. In the purports, look for statements reflecting Prabhupada's mood and mission regarding yoga practices, and then discuss the significance of the statements that you select for us. Any question on the exercise? Groups, you can just, you know, gather according to your convenience with three or four devotees. And we won't have group presentation, we'll just ask, you know, like, you can just share what you came up with as a whole class, but just for the purpose of discussion, you can sit with two or three devotees according to your convenience. We'll just deal with it in the whole class sitting when you come back. And so let's take a half an hour, so you can take 10 minutes for your break, and no, we'll take till 12:30. So take 10 minutes for your break or so, and then 10 minutes to look through and discuss. You've got 20 minutes on the exercise, 20 to 25 minutes on the exercise, 10 to 15 minute break. 12:30 we'll reconvene. And those people who handed me papers can see me now if you like. Now, Rohit.